Before we get into this episode, I want to invite you to join the community of faith-based storytellers. Yes, Faith Audio Network. Now, Faith Audio Network is our online community designed to sharpen and encourage faith-based storytellers to use their voice and overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So if you know that God is calling you to speak up, if you know that in this season, God is telling you to use your voice, whether that be on stages or launching a podcast or being a guest on podcast or even doing an audiobook or some type of audio experience, then I want to invite you to join this community. To learn more, please visit faithaudionetwork.com. That's faithaudionetwork.com.
If you were actually going through and fulfilling your gifting, whether it's your general gifts, your specific gifts, you will be in a place of greater joy. You will have more fulfillment and you will have a greater peace.
Hello, love, and welcome to another episode of the Faith-Based Storyteller Show, where we sharpen and encourage one another in Christ. I'm your host, Michaela Robertson, and thank you for joining me for another day, another week, and of course, another Testimony Tuesday. Now, today's storyteller is Randy Atkins, and I absolutely love what Randy has produced. So let me read his official bio for you. Randy Atkins Jr., a Lowcountry native of South Carolina, creatively weaves his experiences as a corporate consultant, ordained minister, community leader, and distinguished Toastmaster into a tapestry inspiring observers to integrate spiritual growth principles into their everyday lives. He recently released his first book, Produced on Purpose, Experience Life Being the Real You, which we're going to dive into today. But the book particularly talks about the profound idea of living a life that aligns with our true selves and our purpose. And I'm really excited to dive into this because I feel like he is going to release some gems that are going to help me identify purpose and what it means to be a producer, because I, being a podcast producer, I'm super excited to just learn about other producers. And he has a way of putting those things together. And Randy is also a podcast host of Produce on Purpose, the podcast, where he explores various aspects of purposeful living, self-discovery, and personal development. So without further ado, here's our storyteller for today, Randy Atkins. Thank you so much for being on the show. Welcome.
Hey, Michaela, it is fantastic to be on this show. I'm ready to share some great information and also talk a little bit about my story. So it'll be awesome.
It's the Faith-Based Storyteller Show. I'm going to get into all your stories, Randy. All of your stories. I hope you're ready.
I'm ready.
I love it. But before we do that, can you just start by introducing yourself? Tell the people who you are and what God has gifted you to do.
Yes, my name is Randy Atkins Jr. I am here in Charleston, South Carolina. I've been married to my wife for 26 years. And we have three beautiful children, ages 23, 20, and 17. And we just love, enjoy, and sharing who God is and what he's all about. I've been doing that throughout my life. I've learned how he has guided me and how what he has shared with me. And so I have done many things. I'm an author. I'm a podcast host. Mm-hmm. I can go down the line. I also do software consultants, so I can bring that in to what we talk about. I'm an ordained minister, and I just do and have fun sharing this message in multiple ways, whether it's writing, speaking, teaching, and being able to share how we can live a better life, a life that can help us to be in joy, peace, and in love all the time. So that's just the quick overview. I have a whole lot I can share and many stories I can tell, but I will leave that for the introduction.
Well, I cannot wait to dive in. I appreciate you for being here. Now, I want to do something different. I want to dive into your story through your story. So you wrote this book that is beautifully displayed on screen, Produce on Purpose. And yes. I want to dive further into the book, but first tell us a little bit about the book, what it's about, and then I have some really interesting questions for you.
Sure. The book is about us living a life where we can finally remove the masks that we sometimes live with and ultimately be able to produce on the purpose that we were created for. We were all uniquely designed by our creator, who I call God, and that he is the one that is has provided us with all the gifting and everything that we need to be able to live in this world. However, what happens in some of our lives is we end up putting on masks depending on what types of areas we may be in. Sometimes we also call it code switching, that you become good at. You become good at showing up in particular ways. And whether it's emotional masks or masks that just say, hey, I want to show up the way I think people want me to show up, then I am going to do that. So the book, in essence, gives you a path on a way to begin to remove those masks so you can begin to reveal who you really are and who you have been deep down inside, so that you can live a life that is fulfilling to you and all of those that are around you. If you were actually going through and fulfilling your gifting, whether it's your general gifts, your specific gifts, you will be in a place of greater joy. You will have more fulfillment and you will have a greater peace. And so I wrote this book specifically so that everyone can have a path and be able to take a look at that. And it's based on scripture that you can look at and follow along and make sure that you can be and experience life being the real you.
I love it. Now I'm going to come out swinging, Randy.
All right.
Who are you? Who's the real Randy? And what was the mask you had to remove in order to discover that?
So I had many masks that I had to begin to remove. One of the biggest mask that I had to really deal with is a mask of what you would call perfectionism, or you would call me the A-type person that always had to have a plan. So one of the things that I had to begin to overcome is that no matter how many plans that I may have, God's purpose is what's really going to prevail. And so I can put together plan A, plan B, plan C, plan D, but in the end, God's purpose is what's going to prevail. So I can try all of that and it could be a whole lot of wasted effort. And I want to make sure that I'm no longer doing that. And so I've gone through a journey myself, and I am still going through a journey of really removing all of those masks so that I can authentically show up within a place where I trust God, I trust him and what he is sharing with me every day. And so when I wake up, I don't have to have a plan. I don't have to have a particular feeling. And when I wake up in the morning, I can just trust that this day, I'm going to give it to him so that I can be in this moment. One thing I did find out with that mask is I would find myself in the future more than I am in the present. Yeah. And that really hurts when it comes to experiencing this moment, this time, and how life really should be, and what God intends for us all to live in, a place where we can experience this moment and be here right now. And you can feel this moment without thinking about what's going on or all of the other things that may be outside of you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think with a lot of us who struggle with perfectionism, I feel like that is something that definitely can either prevent us and paralyze us, or something that just keeps us from really walking in the purpose that God gave us, because you are truly multifaceted. You, as you mentioned, you are a ordained minister. You have your background in technology. You have written a book. Like, you are a writer. You are a speaker. You are doing so many amazing things, and you can't be perfect in every single one of those. And I think a lot of us strive to be perfect in every single gift that we have, that we don't step into any of the gifts fully, let alone acknowledge where we are right now.
Yes. And it's important to understand that it's a process that God wants us all to go through. I'm reminded of course, in the Bible, when there's always a lot of discussion about agriculture and planting and harvest. And when it comes to planting a seed, it takes time for that seed to process and become whatever you planted. If it's a particular tree, it's going to take a long time for that tree to produce whatever fruit it's supposed to. And it's the same way with us in our lives. You might start something, you're probably not going to be very good at it. But that's okay that you just continue to go through a process and continue to grow and become what you need. And that is something to learn. It's something we have to all understand. And many times we hear it as waiting on God, or it may be put in a place of saying, it's just not your time yet. And we have to understand that when God is preparing us, we might still be under the ground, but that doesn't mean that something's not happening in our lives.
Oof, absolutely. All right, let's dive into some things. Produce on purpose, experiencing life being the real you. So what I love about this book, and I am when I read, I'm like a word nerd. I love the meaning of different words. I love looking up different words, and you come straight out of the gate asking us if we're ready to be a producer. Now, I specifically have always been, I have background in broadcast journalism. I have never been drawn to the anchors or the reporters. I was always drawn to the producers. Like when Oprah came out, I'm like, Oprah's cool, but I want to know who Sherry is. I want to know who her producer is, because the producer makes the things happen. The yes. host just shows up, but the producer makes the things happen. How did you know that you were ready to be a producer, and what is a producer?
Yes. So as I explain in the book, there's many times that we are showing up as actors or actresses, or as you just stated, as the anchor or the host who's out in front. And that's great. It's really nice. However, you're always working on someone else's script. You may have had input into that script. You may have said something, but in the end, it's going to be someone else's script. And it's fine for a point, but if your whole life is working off of someone else's script, then that's an issue that you're going to have to grapple with, because you're not being a creator that God actually created you to be. And so then you say, well, maybe then I'll be the director of my life. I can direct my life. I'll have more creative abilities and more freedom to be able to create. I'll be the director. But even the director is still being hired and fired. The actor and actress, the anchor, everyone is hired and fired by who? The producers. The producers are the ones that get all of the resources together. And it's the same thing with our lives, is that we have to be the ones that can put all of the resources together. Doesn't mean that you are living in this world by yourself, because the producer has to get all of the people together to enhance and make sure that the creative portion script, if it's movies, if it's actually journalism, that it gets out, but it gets out in the way that producer sees it, wants it, and believes it should be put out. And when we do that in our lives, then we can then be the ones that are co-creating with God, and we can move down a path where once we have connected with him, we're co-creating in this world the way that we should have. So I have become a producer by intentionally saying, I'm going to be the one that will be in charge of my life. And so there will be times that we will start off as actors and actresses and maybe become the director, but the goal is for every one of us to become producers of our lives. And if we do that, then we are in a space where God is going to allow us to put the right people around us, the help that we're going to need, so that your life is actually producing the things that you're supposed to produce, the fruit you're supposed to produce, and all of the great things that come out of you being intentional about your life.
I love that. And I love how you kind of talk to us producing the fruit that we are supposed to produce, because I know throughout the book, you reference John 15:5 a lot, where it talks about how the Father says, I am the vine and you are the branches. And if you remain in me, then I'll remain in you and you will produce much fruit. And so I'm curious, how do we discern? How do I want to put this? How do we produce on purpose if we do not know what our purpose is?
Right. First thing we have to do is connect with God, and we need to find out why was I put here? And some of the ways that you can find out why you were put here, I describe in the book that we have a general purpose and a specific purpose. And the general purpose is that all of us and everyone in this world is the general purpose is for us to please our creator. And that means if your creator is love, whom God is love, then you're going to produce love as your general purpose. But we all also have specific purposes. You have at least one gift that you have that the creator has provided to you. And most of us have multiple gifts that he has given to us. And the gift that I'm talking about in this purpose, it's stuff that's easy for you to do. Not everyone can easily do what you do. And I know for me, my gifting is teaching. I can take something extremely complex and I can then share and describe and explain it in a simplified form that everyone can understand, or utilize analogies, metaphors, or whatever it is to share that particular idea or concept.
Okay.
For you, it might be different. You might have a gift to sing. You might have a gift to be able to help people or see a need. And many times the gifts that people have are overlooked. You're the one that always knows when someone needs the help. You call right on time. How'd you know I needed that? Well, you have a gifting to do that. I don't have that gift. I might not see when you might have that need. I might not call, but you do. Whomever has that gift, they can do that. And so your specific purpose is really important for us to understand and to get that. It's that easy stuff that you're able to do. You know what it is. Most people know what it is, and they just have not seen it or heard it told as being a gift or gifting. But lean into that, because when you're doing that, then you're moving in a space where you're going to produce on your specific purpose. You're going to do the general purpose, but your specific purpose and why you are here. It's really easy for us to look at others and see what others are doing. Mm-hmm. But this is a case where you have to not look out, but you have to start to look in.
I love that. And you kind of break that down in the book as well, where you talk about connecting. And you talk about kind of how Paul talked about, let me just pull up the scripture, because y'all know that I'm going to sit here and not quote the scripture the way it's supposed to be quoted. So in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, Paul says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray that God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now you break this down into three ways to connect: body, mind, and soul. How can you walk us through these connection points and how we can identify them in our own lives?
Yeah, Paul described that we are a three-part being, and that is that you have a body, you have a soul, and you have a spirit. The body is your physical body. It's your connection with this three-dimensional world where you are working with your five senses to really give you an indicator of what's going on. So you can feel with your five senses, you can hear with your five senses, you can see, you can smell, and you can taste with your five senses. And that allows us to relate to this external world. And then you have your soul. Your soul is where your mind, your will, and your emotions really lie. This is where you have a place where you can have the ability to have decisions that are made, and you're able to also push yourself in particular directions, and you have emotions. These are this is energy in motion that you have that you can utilize in your life. The soul is that battleground and this battlefield between this world, sometimes what the Bible calls the flesh, or what we would call the outside, and then what's internal in you, which is the spirit. Everyone has the spirit within them, whether or not you have beliefs and religious beliefs of what you have to do to maybe perfect your spirit or have your spirit change. But you have a spirit that has come from God, or the breath of God, the pneuma of God, whatever God has already put in you, it's there. And everyone has that within them. So the question then becomes, if you connect with God in your spirit, and you actually listen to it in your soul, then you also have the ability to produce in this body and in this external world, where in most cases, people are thinking about the external world and how the indicators of their senses show them things. And then they are then taking that into their soul and then trying to update their spirit. Well, there's a disconnect because you're not going to update what the truth is versus what a lie is, and we can go down a whole path of that. But
Absolutely.
Connecting starts with us understanding who we are and how we're connected there, and that we can then connect to God in all levels, because we need alignment in our spirit, with our soul, and with our body, that we're moving in the same direction and not completely different ones.
I'm curious, when did you first connect? Like, how, because you do so much, and I'm curious if the Lord spoke to you as a little chicken, little baby chicken, and was like, Randy, you're gonna do this at an older age, just follow my word. Or if you like came to Christ later on in life and you were like, okay, I hear the Spirit, and so my soul recognizes that this is the path, and I'm going to walk in these instructions that the Lord has given me. Like, walk me through your connection story.
So my connection story is interesting. It didn't all happen at once. When I was younger, I could feel that I could like understand things or see things or believe in things. And at the age of 11, I decided that I wanted to have, you know, Jesus as a part of my life. And there was a moment there where I was praying on a Saturday, I remember, in my room. And I had just come from a revival the entire week, and other people had received the Lord. And I was like, I want to receive him, but it wasn't right. But in that room at that time, I remember sitting there and being in the room, and it was as if the hand of the Lord came down and touched me. And I knew then that I had a connection with him. And from there, that is when a conversation and a believing started. Now, I won't tell you throughout my teenage years after being 11 that I did not have lapses of judgment. I had many days of lapses of judgment. And as time went on, I continued to learn more about who God really is, and also starting to kind of fall off of the things that may be deemed social norms or things like that. And I had a drive and a will to study God's word and understand, what does that help? How can that help me live this life in a better way? And so I've had incidents in my life where it really, really shook my life. And I talk about one of them in my book, where my 19-year-old brother was in a fatal car accident. And, you know, it was a crisis in my life because I was doing things for the Lord. However, I believe after that, that's when God really called me to be a minister and to do other things. And when I had that call, I knew without a shadow of a doubt that I was supposed to share a message of people of hope, that you can live a life that is going to be fulfilling and have greater joy. Mm-hmm. But I had to go through a pretty dark space in order to get there. And that connection wasn't just something that, you know, I'm just jumping on nice flowers and saying, oh, this is so nice. No, it was a very difficult time in my life, but it shifted me to grow closer to God. Mm-hmm. And I think that as we all are on our journeys, it's going to be different how you get there. However, I encourage everyone, seek God. And so the Bible tells us that we're supposed to seek him, and we're supposed to continuously seek him. And when we seek him, you don't know what the timing's going to look like. I just know that when his timing happens in your life, you will have more revealed to you than you've had before. And so my journey has been one where there have been some significant moments, and that I have learned to trust God in a greater way, and not only trust him, but if you've been through something, if you've been through some difficult times, and I've been through many difficult times, that I have now been able to say, I appreciate every moment, because it's not promised. I appreciate the times when I had to really struggle to figure out, you know, is this the right thing I'm doing? Is this who I'm supposed to be? And sometimes you find out, no, I've been living a lie, and I need to now be able to walk in the truth. Mm-hmm. And as those moments come, you then have greater revelation. And as my grandmother told me a long time ago, I didn't understand it when she was really telling me this. She said, do not let nobody turn you around. Mm-hmm. Now, it was hard for me to say that because I try to use proper English all the time. I would say to anybody, but she said, don't let nobody turn you around. And I can really stand on that today because of my experiences with God.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Grandma. We appreciate you. So I love it. Throughout the book and throughout the table of contents, I believe as a word nerd that each and every chapter is kind of the map that will lead you to produce on purpose. And so I want to know throughout your story, what in one of the chapters, it's titled, See It Before You See It.
Yes.
What did you see before you finally saw it?
See It Before You See It is really a place where we can begin to see what God is doing in our lives. And so for my life, I also tell a story in the book about how I figured out how ideas can become real and manifest in this world. And with me and my friend, we're just kind of putting stuff together, and we would go in the backyard and we would begin to think of things, and we would then build those contraptions in the backyard and they become real. Now, and that's a very direct way of making things become real. I had an idea in my head, then I used my hands and I put it together. And so the See It Before You See It is about vision. It's about how God has put a vision within every one of us. There is a vision within you, and it is something that we have to seek out, and we have to make sure that we don't have blockages within ourselves or blockages for people, because people can be blockages to us of really understanding the vision that God has put within you. And that, for me, it has been a very, very big game changer, because the seeing it in this world, you may not be able to physically touch it, but you are going to have the physical or the spiritual eyes of God, not the physical eyes, but the spiritual eyes of God, to see what has not been done yet or even before. You're not going to go off of history. You're not going to go off the past. You're going to go off of what is now. And this is a leaning to your creator and to God. Sometimes he's going to show you something that has never materialized in this world before to guide you in that space. And I also give an example and a story in there where our church, we were doing a fundraiser, and it was a brick fundraiser that God put in my heart to do. 6 months of a lot of study and research, put it together, got everybody, got it approved, and then we launched it. And when we launched it, it felt like a thud. Boom. I'm like, what happened? Nobody's buying the bricks. Why aren't anybody buying the bricks? And people were like, well, we've seen this happen before, and we don't think that this is going to work out. And I'm like, no, this is... it's supposed to be for this time, and this is what we're supposed to do. And then it was the price, and somebody was saying, no, it's too high. And but in the end, after a few months of time, we did get the motion going, the marketing of it, and in the end, we had sold enough bricks to go ahead and do the installation. And it didn't matter from there that anything else was going to be a blessing of the fundraiser. And so I share that because many times we're going to have visions that everyone's not going to be on board with. And that's okay. We have to then have the wherewithal within us to trust our creator that he's given us the vision, and that not only will we carry it out, but he is going to carry it out.
You know, it's something, the story you just shared makes me think about the story in the Bible where Moses, I want to say Moses, sends out some representatives to the promised land to kind of seek it out and see if it's something where they can thrive and prosper. And half of them come back and they're like, no, there's giants. We can't do it. Like, this isn't the place to go. And then the other people are like, oh yeah, this is an amazing land. Like, we're going to be able to prosper here. And so when we're put in positions where we are surrounded by those who have varying visions, how do we discern the purpose that we need to follow in order to enter into the promises that God has given us?
Many times the vision is going to be so much bigger than what you have ever seen or been able to do. And it's a good saying to understand that if you think you can do it and you're comfortable with it, it's probably not a vision that came from God. And that's one of the things. And that story that you're talking about, you only had 2 out of 10 that came back that said, yeah, we are well able to take them on and do this right now. Where the other 8 were saying, we look like grasshoppers in the sight of these giants. And because of that, they were held back and didn't go into promised land for many, many more years after that. Mm. Same thing for us, is for us to think about, is to trust God in a way to know that if he leads you to it, he's going to take you through it. The reason I say this is because sometimes we end up in a place where everyone's not going to understand what God has put in you or understand the vision. I might, for example, when I want to write this book, I told people about it, but it took me 3 years to write. They probably didn't believe it was going to ever be published, but that's okay. I knew what I needed to do and how I needed to get it out. But that's the kind of thing I want everyone to be encouraged about, is that sometimes it's going to be so big that you have to lean on many others. I leaned on many others, many editors, many people to help with putting it out, but that's okay. When God gives you something, it's going to be bigger than what you can do with your 2 hands. You're going to have to trust him that he's going to put the right people in place. He's going to give you the right resources, and mm-hmm. that you can step out, and that he will do it over and over and over again in your life.
Well, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm guilty as charged. Y'all know here on the podcast, I've been talking about writing this book for about 3-4 years. But like Randy, it's going to get out in God's timing. In God's timing, it's going to be perfect. But I am curious, Randy, since it took you 3 years to write this book, what were some of the grasshoppers that you faced? Because I know a lot of authors and a lot of people in general receive this vision from God, and they're like, I'm going to write a book. And then they sit down, and the Lord decides to teach them some things in the process of writing that book and reveal some things that they may or may not have healed from. And so I'm just curious what that journey was like for you to get from the vision of Produce on Purpose to that word that God gave you becoming flesh in an actual book in hand.
What a great question. I started writing this book in 2020, which we know was when we were in the pandemic. Mm-hmm. My wife actually encouraged me, because I had wanted to write books over the years. It was just the right timing with the age of our children and everything at the moment. It was like, okay, we're going to go. We went to Starbucks and I put together the first outline. And if you were to look at that first outline, it looks nothing like what the book is today, because over those 3 years, God did reveal more to me of exactly what Produce on Purpose really is and should be. Produce on Purpose was there as the name and the title. And I remember talking to the editors and talking to my production, you know, the publisher, and saying, okay, this is what I'm looking for. And I put it together, and editing, oh my gosh. I will encourage everyone, if you are a writer, be ready to edit, and then edit some more. Because editing was where I learned that there's more than one type of editing. I believe that most of us only believe or understand in proofreading as editing. Proofreading, or the final polishes, that's at the end. Mm-hmm. The idea of actually having a developmental edit, which means that you can kind of put things together. Because the first time I wrote this, it did not flow the way it should. I've read many books in my life, and I was like, this doesn't flow. It feels very choppy. And it was important for me to understand that this developmental edit needed to occur. And so I was already a year in, and I redid the developmental edit, and Oof. Then came back out on the other side. So then there are multiple edits after that mm-hmm. you have to do. So that was a journey in understanding who I was, but the content also changed. And so I encourage everyone, whatever the timing is that you need to do, it will be right as long as you trust the leading. And I needed to do that, because also I took towards the end of me actually putting the book out, I took a sabbatical from church, which I was assistant pastor, and I was doing a lot of things over the pandemic time all the way to then. And it was a good time for me to sit back and really have God speak to me. So I just encourage, there's a lot that's there I could share. However, I just want to encourage everyone to know that it was a process. And yeah. Many times it wasn't the most comfortable process, but I did learn to lean on God. And that as he gave the word, I would put it together. And also that you just have to iterate, and edit.
Absolutely. As an editor myself, I understand the many phases that you have gone through, which is why I am not ready to release and write this book that God has given me, but it will come out.
Yes.
I love it. Now, another chapter in the book is called Exercise Faith on Purpose. How do we exercise our faith on purpose? It's one thing to exercise our faith and to take the word of God and to apply it to our lives. You know, faith comes from hearing the word of God. Let me just go and listen to the Bible. Let me go and read the word. Let me go and talk to God and see if I can hear from him. But how do we do that intentionally? How do we do that on purpose in alignment with the gifts and the purpose that God has given us?
It's starting and understanding that see it before you see it, which is way at the beginning, understanding that number one, that's part of faith and trusting God and understanding what he really has for you to do. I share in the book a little bit about that. A lot of times the little things that we have that are going on in our lives, they actually add up to be big things in our lives. Mm-hmm. And when you can have faith to just take that next step, I love in the Bible, it tells us that he will be a light and a lamp unto our feet and a light into our pathway, mm-hmm. because that means that every step that we are taking, we might be in a dark place, but you just have to take that next step in order for the light to show you enough to go to the next step. And that you don't know where you're going to fully go, but you do know that I need to take that next step. And understanding that the little things that you may need to do are the things that are going to count the most. As you're starting to move forward to exercise that faith, I encourage you to start with something small. Don't try to say, well, I'm believing God that he's in the 2024. I'm going to have a breakthrough in everything that I need in my life. It mm-hmm. might be the case if God's been preparing you for that for many years, potentially, but trust in the process of what God is doing. And so my idea would be to tell you initially, just start off believing in what you can't see and trusting that you can take that next step of whatever God is leading you to do. Because by the time you get to the exercising your faith, and in that part of your process, you are now in a space where you understand what faith is. God has done something in your life before. You now can begin to say, all right, I'm going to believe that you are going to guide me, and I am going to be able to just take a step, and you're going to show me what the next step is. And this is hard, especially for someone like me who likes plans. I like to have a plan, mm-hmm. but many times God is going to give you enough of a plan that says, just go here. And you have to do like Abraham did and go to a place that God said, I'll show you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Ain't that the truth? I am in a place that God said he will show us. And I believe that this is our promised land, but it takes that step and then the next step and then the next step. I tell people all the time, just take the next best step.
Yes. Yes.
Absolutely. All right. I want to dive into one more chapter because I'm not going to give away all your chapters. People need to go buy the book for this. But I want to dive into one more chapter that is Seek Direction.
Yes.
Seek direction. You talked about the power of seeking God first. And when it comes to seeking God first, and he gives us the direction to take and we take that next step, I believe that seeking, and you kind of touched on this earlier, seeking is continuous. So how do we allow ourselves to be in a position or in a practice that we are continually seeking instead of just seeking him until for this point? And then 3 years later, we seek him for something else. And because we need the money, we seek him for something else. Like basically, how do we need to position ourselves to continually seek?
God is not our genie and God is not a magician. And so one of the things we want to do is to seek him for our direction in life. That means that what I'm going to do, number one, is I want to really rid myself or surrender myself. I'm going to give a key moment here of what we call forgiveness. Forgiveness to others and forgiveness to yourself is one of the first areas you want to make sure you're getting good with, because if you can clean up yourself, David at one point knew that he had been an adulterer and a murderer, and he immediately comes in Psalms 51 and says, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. What does that mean? That means that we have to get to a space where we are clear. If we can be clear and then we seek him, that means that I'm going to pursue God. When I pursue God, that means that I'm in pursuit of what God has for my life. I'm going to pursue love in my life because God is love. I'm going to pursue his great peace. See, the thing that we should be thinking on, these are the things you should think on. The things that you should be thinking on are the things that God wants us to think on so that you can have a great peace, a peace that actually goes beyond our thinking and our understanding. And when you begin to seek his direction, it goes back to what I love the scripture in Proverbs is 3 and 5. It tells us, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not to your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Well, if we are trusting him, we are then going to seek him in faith that he's going to guide us and give us what direction we need to go in, and actually what steps we need to take, how far we need to go, when we need to go there, where we need to go, who we need to go with. He's going to give you all of that, exactly what you need, but you have to begin to seek him. And I encourage prayer. I encourage practical steps of meditation. So when I say meditation, the difference between prayer and meditation is that prayer is our speaking to God and you know, really getting him. And the meditation I'm talking about is listening to God and hearing him say, hey, this is where I need you to go. And when you seek him, it says in the Bible that you will find. And when you knock, the door will be open. And so if you ask, it shall be given. So seeking becomes a very important part of us getting the correct direction in our lives. And then, of course, in Matthew 6:33, it tells us that if we seek what his kingdom first, so in priority's sake, we seek his kingdom, that means his kingdom in all that we do, then all of the other things that Jesus talked about, whether it's the clothing, the lilies of the field, or the birds of the air eating, or whatever you need in life, God is going to provide. And don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow it's going to take care of its own self. So just today, seek with that priority, then continue to seek in prayer, meditation, and God will reveal to you the direction you need to go in.
I love it. Randy, what is God revealing for you as your next steps? Where are you headed?
I'm headed to continue to share this message and to be in a space where I'm sharing this message through, again, speaking, a podcast, Produce on Purpose is out there. I'm more of a solo podcast. I haven't moved to a place where I've been interviewing too many. My family only been on there, but I'm sharing the message through that. And also continuing to preach the word of God. And you can catch me writing and sharing more of this message. I'm going to be doing this in a greater way. Hopefully more and more people will hear this message, be able to share this message with others, and that it continues to catch fire and themselves to continue to be who they have authentically been born to be.
I love it. Where can people find you? I know I'm reading the screen, but for those who are not watching the podcast and are listening, where do you like to play? Where can people find you online?
You can find me at randyatkinsjr.com. That's randyatkinsjr.com, A-D-K-I-N-S. that you can find all information about my podcast, information about book, information about events that I'm at, or interviews that I've been a part of. And additionally, you can comment or share any feedback that you want with me. I will engage with you. I love to be able to have great conversations and share about, you know, and hear about your life. How has God been really touching you and your life? And what have you been able to see God do in your life? I love to hear about that and be able to share. And of course, if there are any questions, feel free to contact me there. And I'm on all social media platforms. You can get to the social media platforms from randyatkinsjr.com as well.
Perfect. So you guys heard that, randyatkinsjr.com. Make sure you go and purchase Produce on Purpose, because it is fire. And on top of learning how to discover your purpose, Randy tells an amazing story. You're a really great storyteller. Reading through the book, I was like, wow, he's a really great storyteller. But you not only learn what your purpose is and how to identify your purpose, but you really become the producer that God has called you to be. And so I'm so grateful for this time, Randy. Before I let you go, I have a couple of questions that I like to end most of our interviews with. Sure. You are here on the Faith-Based Storyteller Show, and our motto is iron sharpens iron, one story sharpens another. So how are you sharpening the people in your life?
I am consistently showing up for them and being in the present moment. I am also making sure that as I learn, as I am actually failing, that I am sharing that with everyone, that I be able to give them that information as well, especially my children. I want to be able to share and be balanced to be able to share with them the failures, so they don't feel like when they're going through something difficult that it's new. No, I've had to go through the same types of things. So I choose to share on those failures and those times in my life to be able to help with others. And really, it's never a failure. I call it a failure, but many of the times it is only a lesson learned that I have found that every time and every step that I've gone through. But yeah, a lot of times it doesn't feel good. Mm-hmm. And I let them know and let anybody know that's around me. It might not feel good right now, but everything is only temporary in this world.
That's so good. So good. Okay, before I let you go, I have a rapid story round. So here on the Faith-Based Storyteller Show, we have a story method. It is strength, technique, obstacles, relationships, and your why. So I'm going to ask you five really quick questions, and I want you to tell me the first thing that comes to mind. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Question number one, what is your greatest strength?
Teaching.
Ooh, I could see that. Just from talking to you, I'm like, I could see that. Question number two is technique. So what is something that God has gifted you to teach?
Definitely how to apply biblical principles to our daily life.
I love it. Question number three, what is one of the most recent obstacles you've overcome?
Ooh, a recent obstacle I have overcome was primarily trying to get to the gym on purpose more consistently. And I'm overcoming that on a more consistent basis.
Praise the Lord. Look at you being a producer of your fitness.
Yes.
I love it. Question four, what does building relationship with God look like for you?
It is a intimate process of just consistently saying, I, Lord, will die to myself daily in my thoughts, in my thinking of how things go, and I will listen for what you have to say, and I will learn your voice. And as I do that, that I trust you that you are going to lead me in the right direction.
Amen. My final question for you, Randy, is the why in your story method, and why do you do all the things, the amazing God-given things that you do?
I have found peace in sharing and fulfilling my strengths, my purpose in my life. And I want everyone to also have that in their lives, to be able to have that peace beyond understanding and to have joy. I will have an intention that every day that I wake up, I can have some joy, regardless of the circumstances, situations, or problems that I may have to face, that I can still have joy.
Amen. Randy, thank you so much for your time. Again, thank you for your obedience. Thank you for taking the time that it took to write this book. The 3 years was not in vain, and I believe that this book is going to be a blessing to so many. So I just appreciate you for sharing your story here on the show.
Thank you for having me on this show. It has been fantastic, and I have enjoyed every moment.
Alrighty, my loves. I really hope you enjoyed this episode. I really hope you enjoyed this episode when Randy talked about connecting to source and connecting through mind, body, and spirit, and how literally once we connect with our Holy Spirit or the spirit within us, then our mind is actually going to take those steps. Mind, soul, our soul is going to recognize the purpose that we have for our lives. We're going to be able to allow our body to produce the actions and take the steps that are necessary in order to propel us forward in purpose. And so I just love, this book is phenomenal. Like, the book is absolutely phenomenal. I encourage you to get it. Make sure you visit his website, randyatkinsjr.com. Again, I'm going to have those links down below, but I enjoyed this conversation. Randy is a wealth of knowledge. And so connect with him if you would like to learn more. He's also an ordained minister. And so he's been a blessing for me. And I hope that he's also a blessing to you. If you want to be blessed by a community of other faith-based storytellers like Randy, make sure that you visit faithaudionetwork.com and join our free community. It is free, so you might as well come on over. But we have monthly trainings, guest experts, and we really dive into audio, which is God giving us the authority, understanding, and discernment in order to identify who we are in him so that we can be obedient. So basically, it's our opportunity to produce on purpose. So head on over to Faith Audio Network to join our free community and learn more about faith and audio combined. Okay, words, there we go. But until next time, loves, always remember that God loves you, and so do I. I'll catch you on the next episode. Bye.